Turn to Luke 17. I'm going to be reading from that passage. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Luke chapter 17. This may be a familiar passage of scripture, but Randall has some special thoughts for us today, and we are excited to hear what he has to say about this today. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him two men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise. Go your way. Your faith has made you well.
We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of your brethren in Christ here in Florida and in the United States. I'm glad we are great partners together in the gospel. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And pray for us as we seek to endeavor to continue our international ministry. And asking God to continue to open doors that we might make known the mystery of Christ. What a wonderful service we've had thus far. I've enjoyed all of the singing, the three prayers of Pastor Wayne, just lifting us before the throne of grace. And now this opportunity to be with you again. We've now, I believe this is our sixth time, to bring you a message from the United States via Zoom. Whoever dreamed years ago that we'd have such technology? It used to be that I traveled to Australia 2003 and a couple of other times. I remember 2011 was our last time with you. That's 10 years now. And we have treasured memories of our time at Central Mountains Baptist Church in Hazelbrook and other churches in the Blue Mountain area and Sydney area. But it's great to be with you again. And we love you in the Lord. We pray for you regularly and we appreciate all you do for us. And so we are going to have a message today from Luke 17. As Pastor mentioned, it is a familiar passage, but I do pray that God would give us some perhaps new thing or enlightenment. Not that we need that, but Peter said, I don't bring you these things because you don't know them. He says, you do know them, but I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. We need to be continually challenged, even with familiar passages. So let's listen now to my wife, Grace, as she shares with us one of her sacred recitations.
I need you to use your sanctified imagination to think with me about the life our Lord Jesus lived here on this earth and how that relates to giving himself on the cross. The little shop at Nazareth. The peaceful life for which it stood. The clear, strong, ringing hammer strokes. The droning saw. The riven wood. The murmur of the smoothing plane. The scent of shavings freshly curled. When thou hadst left them all behind and gone thy way into the world where men would hate thee and revile, and one betray thee with a kiss, and one deny and all forsake? Was there one added pang in this, that tools of thy familiar craft should be the things that wounded thee? The hammer and the driven nails, the wood of that accursed tree? Ah, no. Thou crowned and crucified, thou power of God that seemed to fail. 'Twas not of wood thy cross was made, 'twas not the hammer and the nails, that drove the blows and fixed thee there and pierced thy hands and feet at last? Man's hatred and man's sin was the cross, and it was love. It was Christ's love that held him fast.
Thank you, Grace. We appreciate that challenge. Let's pray together. Father, as we come now to the Word of God, we ask your blessing and anointing upon the preached Word of God. So go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Bless all the missionaries and evangelists and pastors who are preaching the Word today. I pray you take out of every nation, tribe, and tongue a people for your name. Lord, save souls, revive your people, restore, refresh, recalibrate. Use the Word of God effectually in our lives today, in Christ's name. Amen. Many of you heard my testimony, and I'll only briefly say that I grew up as a Roman Catholic with all of the trappings and those things that are taught. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And that certainly is a description. And then joining the United States Air Force in 1974, and then in 1976, the United States government sending me to Kadena Air Force Base in Okinawa, Japan, where I continued my sinful lifestyle, religious but lost, relationship was not there. I had no dealings with God or Christ or the Word of God. I was living for self and sin and Satan. Then one of my drinking buddies got saved and was inviting me to his believer's baptism at Maranatha Baptist Church in Okinawa, a church established to reach the United States military. And he begged and pleaded. I gave many excuses why I didn't want to go, but finally I gave in and I went to that independent Baptist church in Okinawa, Japan. And I heard for the first time in my life the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus. And how that I was undone, unfit, unworthy, and undeserving of heaven. No amount of religious enterprise, no amount of morality or levels of any goodness could avail. And I needed a remarkable, marvelous, miraculous change of heart called the new birth. As Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that night of September 19th, 1976, the Lord Jesus arrested me, accosted me, and conquered my sinful soul. That night, I was drawn into a personal relationship with the living God through Christ. And as Pastor Wayne mentioned earlier, I was radically, dramatically changed, 180 degrees, night and day. I followed in believer's baptism a week later and then began to be trained by the missionaries to reach Japanese with the gospel. I couldn't do much because of the language barrier, but I could stand on busy street corners and heavy foot traffic and hand out gospel tracts. And I said these words hundreds of times, so I remember them. Hai, gumeni sai, dozo yonde kudasai, which simply means, excuse me, would you please read this as we hand out these tracts. And then the missionaries announced, next Saturday, we're going to a leper colony. Would you like to join us? Handing out gospel tracts, baked goods to the lepers. I agreed to go, but I'm not sure that I was prepared for what I was about to see. There are many different forms of leprosy. If you look it up online, you'll see it's many different skin diseases. But the leprosy of the New Testament and the leprosy of this leper colony in Okinawa was the devastating, deplorable, despicable kind that takes off all your extremities and is going to kill you. And when we knocked on the doors of these lepers' little cubicles, it took a long time for some of them to answer the door because they had no feet. When they opened the door, there were hideous, grotesque-looking faces, no ears, nose, or lips. And when they reached out to take the gospel tract and the baked goods, many of them had no fingers. It certainly made a lasting impression on me. And so I, with some measure of authority and experience, I can preach to you about these 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. In the context, our Lord Jesus Christ is on his final trip to Jerusalem. This is the third of three Passover feasts that he will attend in his public ministry. This will be the final Passover feast that he attends. For this Passover, he will become the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, slain for the sins and sinners of the world. And so he's on that final trek, that journey to Jerusalem, set like a flint toward Jerusalem for the joy that was set before him. He will endure the cross for you and for me. But all along the way to the holy city, Jesus Christ is touching and changing lives. In Luke 17, on that busy highway separating Galilee from Samaria, he's going to change and touch these 10 lepers. And then he'll make his way from west to east, which was the usual route of the Jews in Galilee to get to the three mandatory feasts in Jerusalem, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And so he and his entourage will continue east, crossing the Jordan River into what was known as Decapolis. Decapolis, Deca is 10, Polis, city. So it's a region of 10 Roman cities. And then they'll make their way south into Perea and then cross the River Jordan again, this time from east to west, into the city of Jericho. In Jericho, the Lord Jesus Christ will touch and change the life of blind Bartimaeus. He'll open his blind eyes. He'll call Zacchaeus down from his tree in Luke 19, and his life, again, forever changed. And even when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he's touching and changing the life of the thief next to him, who said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know you're the Lord. I understand what you're doing on that cross. I believe you're the king. I believe you have a kingdom, and I want in." The Lord Jesus blessedly replies, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise," touching and changing that brief life left that the thief had. And so here we find he's leaving Galilee, heading for Jerusalem. Verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst Samaria and Galilee. There was a highway that was the border of Galilee to the north and Samaria to the south. And then further south of Samaria is Judea. And so many, many Jews and many Samaritans used this highway. As you see, among these 10 lepers, some were Jews and at least one of them was a Samaritan. And so we'll find these 10 men. In my outline today, I have 3 D's for you homiletically minded people out there. The first D is the leper's description. Notice verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they're standing afar off because that was the law. The Levitical law said if you were a leper, you could not come into society. You had to stay a certain distance away. And if the wind was blowing, you had to stay even further away. But you find these 10 men in their description. There are 2 chapters in the Old Testament dedicated to the subject of leprosy, Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14. Leviticus 13 describes the disease of leprosy. And so in that chapter, which we'll not take time to see today, but just keep that in mind, Leviticus 13 gives a description of the disease. Leprosy starts very, very small, a little patch on the skin, and then it begins to spread. And as it spreads, it corrupts the flesh. It is an incurable disease. And as it corrupts, it takes off the extremities first, your ears, nose, lips, takes off the fingers, takes off the toes. And then like a melanoma, the disease goes inward and attacks the organs. And when it does, it manifests itself in large, pussy sores all over the body. And usually a leper in the late stages of the disease will be wrapped up with all kinds of bandages to soak up that pus coming out of those sores. It's a very grotesque scene. So the lepers, once they are declared lepers by the Levitical priesthood, and that's what we find in Leviticus 14, they are now separated and isolated for the rest of their lives. They can no longer go back to their families, their occupation. They cannot function in society. And they certainly are not welcome in the temple or synagogues. No, they are isolated and co-signed to leper colonies, such as the one that I visited in Okinawa. And so they would all be with other lepers, living lives of sorrow, and eventually much pain and death. Many of us know and understand that the disease of leprosy is a picture and type of sin, and God meant it to be so. It's uncanny how that the disease of leprosy and sin share the same characteristics. Leprosy begins oh so small. The leprosy of sin begins at conception. And as that infant child is physically born and makes its entrance into the world, its heart, soul, and mind, and life is already darkened by the leprosy of sin. Oh, so small is that infant. We have three grown children and their mates, and they've given us eight grandchildren. The youngest is from our son, Jonathan, who's been to Australia. Our second daughter, Deborah's also been to Australia two times. But Jonathan is now married. He's a second lieutenant, an officer in the Army. And just 6 months ago, they had their first child, a son, whom they named Elijah, which means the Lord is my God. And we were there right after the birth, and we cradled in our arms that new infant boy, our eighth grandchild, so small, so frail, but so full of the leprosy of sin. And we could hold that child and look with great amazement and amusement and say, "You are the cutest sinner I've ever seen." And we would be accurate. Because the Bible says in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 58:3 says, "They go astray as soon as they be born." And that's why we so firmly believe in children's ministries. We believe in Awana. We believe in Sunday school. We believe in vacation Bible schools and camps. And certainly the parents, believing parents in their homes. It is our great desire that children would come to a true and genuine saving knowledge of Christ at the earliest of ages, because that leprosy of sin is spreading in their minds and hearts and lives, corrupting their thoughts, their words, their actions, their attitudes. And the sooner a child can come to a true saving knowledge of Christ, the sooner that spreading and corrupting can be curtailed. By the time I was 20 years old, the leprosy of sin had spread so dramatically through my mind, my mouth, my manners, my attitudes, my life was lived in darkness and blindness. The leprosy of sin had so corrupted me. And I was under the dominion and tyranny of sin, and I was a servant of Satan until that day when the Lord Jesus conquered my sinful soul and cleansed me of all leprosy of sin, and I became his and became a child of light, life. So that's the leper's description. Perhaps it's your description. And do you understand or realize that unless you meet the Lord Jesus personally and by faith receive the one who died in your place and shed his blood to cleanse you of sin, unless you come to embrace fully and appropriate and internalize the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus, that your life is continuing in the spreading and corruption of the leprosy of sin, and it will ultimately kill you. The wages of sin is death, and it will ultimately isolate you away from your family and friends, and they're isolated in the lake of fire forever and ever. And the smoke of their torment descendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Will you with haste come to the Lord Jesus today and believe on him and receive him as Savior and Lord to the salvation of your soul? The leper's description now moves into the second point, the leper's desire. In verse 13, they lifted up their voices. Why do they lift up their voices? Because verse 12, they were standing afar off, obeying the Levitical laws. So they lifted up voices as they saw the Lord Jesus, his apostles, and the entourage of pilgrims heading for Jerusalem. And with loud voices, they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They first of all appealed to his person. The name Jesus, of course, in the Hebrew is Yeshua or Yahashua, which means Savior. Matthew 1:21 says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Do you want to be saved from your sins? Or do you just want to be saved from your problems? Do you want to be saved from your sins? Or you just want to be saved from hell and have Jesus as an insurance policy against the flames of hell? No, genuine conversion includes a repentance and a saving faith. As these called in the name of the Lord Jesus, we need to do so as well. So they appeal to his person, and then they appeal to his position. "Master, you are Adonai, you are the Lord. We come to you as your humble servants. We want you to have lordship of our lives." And then they appeal to his power. "Have mercy on us." They knew and understood the very authoritative power of Yeshua, of Christ, to heal them miraculously, immediately, of their leprosy. They're like the man in the next chapter, the publican of Luke 18 and verse 13. The publican standing afar off, just like these lepers are standing afar off. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. Great remorse, great mourning, great repentance. But smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." How he's contrasted with the Pharisee in verse 11, who paraded his accolades of religion and morality. And yet the Lord says in Luke 18:14, "I tell you, this man, the publican who cried out for the mercy of God, he went down to his house justified, declared righteous, saved." And so the leper's desire that the Lord Jesus, the Master, would have mercy on them and cleanse them and heal them of leprosy, because they recognize their need. They recognize their incurable condition. There's no human cure for leprosy. If they are ever going to be cleansed and declared clean again, it was going to take a miraculous, remarkable movement of God upon their lives. They understood they were helpless and hopeless in their disease to ever find relief or cleansing. And that's the place that every one of us needs to come to. We need to understand our deplorable, despicable, and dangerous and destructive condition, that we're full of the leprosy of sin, and unless the Lord Jesus intervenes with a miraculous movement and touch called the new birth, we are doomed and destined to perdition forever. So they understood their condition. The hardest thing about getting people saved is to get them lost. For this world is incurably religious. This world, like that Pharisee in Luke 18, want to parade their self-righteousness and their religion. And they depend upon religious systems to get them to heaven. They depend upon their own levels of morality. They depend upon their own ability to be a good person, a good neighbor, a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother. They depend upon their ability to keep a set of church rules, not realizing that none of those things can save their souls. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If we could get to heaven in ourselves, if we could get to heaven through some religious means or levels of moralities, then Christ never had to leave heaven and come to the earth and walk upon the earth he created. If we can somehow be good enough in ourselves or religious enough in ourselves, then the cross was not necessary. You know, the Lord Jesus went to the cross and bore our sins in his own body on the tree because we were helplessly, hopelessly lost. And no amount of religion or works or self-effort or self-betterment can save us. As Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. These lepers also called out because obviously somebody on a previous occasion had taken the time to share with these lepers who Jesus is and what he could do for them and the power he has to cleanse leprosy. Who was that that shared that message with them? Well, I believe it was the leper back here in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, it came to pass when he, the Lord Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosies in the late stages of the disease, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, this man took a chance to come into the city where Jesus was, and perhaps there was great panic and consternation in the minds of city dwellers who saw this man full of leprosy coming into their city and coming to Jesus. Perhaps they lifted up stones to stone him to death, but this man doesn't care. He knows that it's do or die. If they stone me before I get to Jesus, I'm going to die anyway. And so he comes into the city where Jesus was and falls on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now perhaps the crowd in that city is really going, we use a word here, berserk, or go bananas, or go nuts. Jesus just touched a leper. How can he be the Messiah? He should know that man's unclean and shouldn't touch him. He's now defiled. Well, the Lord Jesus is God in the flesh. He cannot be defiled by anyone or anything. So the Lord Jesus touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, salvation is immediate. The leprosy of sin will leave you immediately the moment you call upon the Lord Jesus to save your soul. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. I like to think it was this man back in Luke chapter 5 now who went back to the leper colony where he once dwelt and told all his leper friends, look at me. Look what Jesus did for me. Is that you, Shloime? It doesn't look like you. It is me. What happened? And they perhaps explained to these lepers the power, the authority, the miraculous ability of Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And perhaps these 10 lepers, who obviously have heard of the power of the Lord Jesus, now are crying from that hillside, "Lord Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. We know what you did for the Luke 5 guy. Well, we're the Luke 17 guys, and we want the same miraculous healing." And so the Lord Jesus did something very interesting in verse 14 of our text of Luke 17. When he saw them, Jesus now sees and hears the pleadings of these 10 lepers, and he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." Interesting, isn't it? In Luke 5, the Lord Jesus touched that leper and healed him miraculously, immediately receiving the cleansing, as we immediately receive the cleansing of our sin when we call on the Lord Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. But here he does not walk over to perhaps a hillside where these 10 men are and touch each one of them. He simply announces from a distance, "Go show yourselves unto the Levitical priests." And that's all he says. And again, this is Leviticus 14. If you thought you might be cleansed of the many different kind of skin disorders that leprosy entails, you go to the Levites. Remember, there were 48 Levirate cities throughout Israel. And so the Lord Jesus says, go to the closest Levirate city and show yourselves unto the priests. You see, the Levitical priests were not only the teachers and instructors of the law, interpreters of the law, they were also the Center for Communicable Diseases. They were also the health department. What's the Lord doing here? He's asking these 10 lepers to trust his word, to take him at his word, believe his word, even from a distance. Do you believe that by the time you get to the Levirate city that you will be miraculously cleansed? He was asking them to put faith in his word. Romans 10:17. And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those 10 lepers could have said, "Nothing doing, Jesus. Yeshua, you heal us first. Then we'll go to the Levite." No, all 10 of them believed. All 10 of them took the Lord Jesus at his word. And we know so because it says in further in verse 14, "And it came to pass that as they went," there's the faith, "that as they went, they were cleansed." Can you imagine it? I would have loved to have been there. I would have loved to see the expression on the face of these 10 men as they started on their journey, and I don't believe they got very far, and miraculously, the Lord Jesus heals them. And with great delight, they looked at each other and said, "Judah, you've got a nose again. Well, Benjamin, you have ears again." And to watch their hands and the fingers going bloop, 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 fingers back on their hands, and bloop, 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 toes back on their feet. And all of the pussy sores miraculously disappear. What a jubilation. What rejoicing must have been on the part of these 10 men. And with new vigor, with new health, new strength, new feet, 9 of them go running with great anticipation of being declared clean. We're going back to our families, our occupations. We're going back to the world and society. But then finally, we find third point, one leper's dedication. Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed," as he looked at his hands, he looked at his feet, his face is whole, and He's completely healthy. Sores are all gone. As much as he wanted to go to the priest and to be cleared clean, as much as he wanted to go back to his family, he felt a greater need, a greater desire, a welling of praise and adoration and dedication in his soul as he turns back. And with a loud voice, even louder than before because he's further away, he glorified God. Glory to God. Praise Yehovah. It wasn't enough now to praise God and thank him and appreciate from a distance. Now with new health, new strength, he perhaps runs where the Lord Jesus is. Perhaps just a dot on the horizon, but he makes haste with new health and strength. And verse 16, he falls down on his face at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was one of those foreigners from the Samaria side. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And this is the great question. Perhaps this question rings forth through the corridors of church history. Of all those miraculously, marvelously healed, cleansed of the leprosy of sin, given pardon, salvation, forgiveness, and cleansing, eternal life. Perhaps the Lord still asks this question, even today. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? The 9. In jubilation of their new status and condition, forgot the one who healed them. Sad to say that we can be like that. Isn't it interesting the Lord Jesus had to institute an ordinance for the local church? The Lord's table for no other reason but that we would not forget him. This do in remembrance of me. Never forget what I've done for you. Never forget my broken body and my wounded hands and feet. Never forget the shed blood. Never forget what I endured and the suffering and the torture and the anguish and the separation from my Father. Never forget that I bore your sins and paid your penalty in full. Never forget my resurrected life. My interest and love for you. But often we do forget. Often we can be like the 9. So involved in the hectic hustle of this life. Families, occupations, hobbies. Many things that want to steal our time from the Lord. I don't know if this was prophetic. I certainly can't say so dogmatically that out of all those miraculously touched and saved in the new birth, that only a fraction would give devoted, consecrated service of living a life that brings glory to God, living a life of appreciation. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Oh, that we give God glory, Psalm 29:2, and give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. Because even the Philippians, Paul noted Philippians 2:1, that they lived for self. They lived for self, not for the things of Christ. There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The word whole, or the word well, in the translation we heard earlier, is the Greek word sozo, which is the word in English, saved. I believe the Lord not only saved his physical life, but saved his soul, which he wants to do with all of us. How amazing is this passage as we conclude. I sometimes feel like the Apostle Paul, and I do feel like this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Don't ever let the grace of God be in vain in your life, born again Christian. Don't ever become complacent or mediocre, status quo, go with the flow, mechanical, mundane, rote, routine Christianity. Don't succumb to convenient Christianity. Be a dedicated man like this leper, living a life of appreciation, living a life of thanksgiving, a life of dedication and consecration, and never forgetting what the Lord did for us. Never forgetting, never letting the grace of God be in vain. I think of my life, 20 years in darkness, 20 years in religious enterprise with no salvation, and how the Lord Jesus brought circumstances and brought people into my life to enlighten me and bring me to himself. Why me? As I travel the world and I've preached to Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, animists, I preach to probably every Christian denomination there is. And I see these people in their pagan, heathen, idolatrous backgrounds. I see them in their religion. And I want to cry out, why me? Why? Why would God enlighten me? Why would he bring me to himself? Others continue lifetimes on the broad road heading for destruction and die in their sins, die with a leprosy of sin having totally destroyed them. Why should I know salvation? Why should you know salvation? Never take it for granted. Never let it become vain in your life. There is absolutely no place for backsliding or becoming double-hearted. How about you? The Lord Jesus said that the majority of humanity would be on the broad road heading for destruction. But the Lord in his grace, mercy, pity, compassion, and love has plucked us off of that broad road heading for destruction and lovingly placed us on his narrow way that leads to life. In Matthew 7, 13, and 14, Jesus said, few there be that find it. Few there are that are on the genuine salvation path heading for heaven. Few there be that find it. Are you some of the few? Are you? It's too precious, it's too rare to not live a life fully of dedication to him. So all of us who've been cleansed, or either with the nine or with the one, God help all of us to be with the one. So Father, we thank you, we praise you, we adore you. I trust we dedicate and consecrate ourselves to you afresh, having heard this message. Lord, is there someone out there listening, watching, who's not yet saved or born again, who has had that miraculous touch of the Master's hand? Are they still in the leprosy of sin? Is the leprosy of sin still spreading and corrupting their lives? Would they today come by faith to you and acknowledge their sinfulness, confess their total inability to save their own soul by religious or moral means, understand their condition and their hell-bound destiny, and they come with a sincere heart of faith and repentance and cry out to you for your mercy, for your grace, for your salvation, your immediate cleansing and forgiveness? Help us as believers to never forget what you've done. Help us, Lord, to never let the grace of God be in vain. And help us to be like this one leper in this dedication. Speak to our hearts today and move us to the action that you have purposed for this message. In Christ's name, amen.